Hi, Edward Humes. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dane.
I'll tell you what, your book has made quite an impact where I work at the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. There are people that really feel this is their Bible.
Really? Well, that's nice to hear.
Well, we've made a big push over the last handful of years to get more and more sustainable. And early on, that was trying to save energy and save water and become more efficient. But now we started to get into the issues you talk about, which is let's figure out how to waste less and certainly to send less to the landfill. Because as you point out in your book, it's not as if all this trash is free.
No, it's true. You know, it's in that sense, it's really like throwing money away. And the waste is, it's cold waste for a reason, right?
Well, absolutely. And the volume, I mean, good grief, in your book, you chronicle some of the stories of the volumes of, even though there are official government reports that say we throw away X and we recycle X, actually they exaggerate on both accounts.
Yeah, we're not really good at keeping track of our trash. We're really good at making it disappear or appear to disappear, which is actually why I wanted to write this book, to sort of bring it back into view. But yeah, we make about twice as much trash as almost twice as much as the official statistics suggest, and that amounts to, if you figure out over the course of a lifetime, the average American makes 102 tons of trash across that lifetime. That's for each person in your household. So if you try and envision that, imagine instead of putting it in a can and or some sort of container and having it picked up every week and disappearing, if you just shoveled your trash every week into your front yard.
Mm-hmm.
If you did that, at the end of a year, you'd have a pile of trash that would weigh 1.1 tons for every person in your household.
Hmm.
And that is the level of wastefulness, the world-beating level of wastefulness that we're engaging in right now.
Well, absolutely. For instance, I know you point out that though people have waste products all over the world, Americans do it at a pace that really surpasses anyone.
Yeah, well, it's true. The average American, according to the best statistics I was able to obtain through a study by Columbia University in a journal called BioCycle, we make about 7.1 pounds a day on average per person in America. And compare that to 2.2 pounds for the average Japanese citizen. And you can see that our particular affection for disposability, for a disposable economy, for throwing things away and getting new things rather than having durable and fixable things that we hold on to, has really made us very wasteful. And that's a recent change, because we're making about twice as much garbage and trash per person now as we did in 1960. So that's a big change in a fairly short period of time.
And many listeners, I'm sure, had either parents or grandparents who came up through the Depression and were extremely thrifty. I know my mother and father, man alive, they didn't throw anything away and really saved whether that string or paper or rubber bands and found a way to reuse them. And a lot of that's unheard of today. But one of the things that was enlightening in your book was that we're also, in essence, throwing money away. Some people have actually made a fortune on American trash.
Oh, well, it's true. In fact, in terms of volume, our biggest export now is our trash. It's our most coveted material. You know, I guess one the saying is really true. One person's trash is another person's treasure. China's first female billionaire made her fortune by becoming the queen of trash. She began in the 1990s collecting paper from landfills in the Los Angeles area, scrap paper. Instead of having it just thrown away, she was snatching it up at next to no cost and started a recycling business because she knew something that others hadn't figured out, that the growth of manufacturing in China created a huge demand for packing materials, for boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And China had deforested itself using its own resources. They were shipping all these products to the U.S. in giant cargo ships, which were then returning empty back to China. And so this enterprising woman was able to get very cheap rates to put her scrap paper onto those empty cargo ships. Those shipping lines were happy just to get any kind of income off the return trips. And she became our top exporter in the U.S. In terms of the money and materials that she's shipping to China. Our trash, our garbage, which is then turned into packaging and products in China and shipped back to us again. We throw it away and it gets shipped back to China. So we get pennies and they get dollars. As a result, it's almost as if we've become China's trash compactor. But it made her, her name's Zhang, made her a billionaire.
Well, I know that visited recycling centers here, and as they package up giant truckfuls, you know, semi-truckfuls, whether it's of cardboard, as you said, boxes that are bundled, or even plastics, they're all then taken and eventually go to China on ships for that very process. So, yeah, it's not even just L.A. or the coast. It's right here in the heartland and really something. Now, you also in the book told a great story that I think serves as a killer role model for Americans. A family of four who cut their garbage production by 90%, improved their lifestyle, and saved a ton of money. Tell a bit about that.
Oh, yeah, the Johnson family, yeah. They live up in Northern California, and they had it actually started because they had a job change and a move from a really large house, about I think it was about 3,000 square feet, and they had to move into 12 or 1,400 square feet. And so this journey for them began with just having to downsize. And it was a voyage of discovery for them. And leading the charge was Bea Johnson, the married mother of two, an artist. And she suddenly took a different view of all the possessions they had accumulated. And it turns out there were a lot of things that they had, but really didn't use and didn't need and accumulated. And they began to simplify and getting rid of those extra dishes that they never used, the furniture that nobody sat in, the clothes they had accumulated but never wore, and so they gave things away and sold things and downsized, and then began examining the things that they were buying and bringing into the house that had a very short life, that would be thrown away and barely used and were just kind of wasteful. And so they started to cut that out. And following that, they began looking at the packaging and the materials, because one of the secrets of our garbage is the single biggest category of things we throw away are packaging and wrap, the things that are things come in, instant trash. And so they began looking for ways to avoid that, the disposable items, the paper plates, the foam containers, the things that we put in the recycling bin, but in truth rarely get recycled because they're not designed to be easily recycled or they've been contaminated with food. Most people don't know if you put recyclable items that have food material in them, they won't get recycled. They'll get sent to the landfill.
Exactly.
So she became very conscious of that, and her whole family kind of joined in. Her husband, a little reluctant about it because he liked his disposable razors and he liked certain things that were convenient, until he kind of ran the numbers and saw that by buying things in bulk and buying or large quantities of things instead of many, many small containers of things, ended up being a cost savings as well as kind of a greener way to live. He figured they were saving about 40% of their household expenses once they really dove into this zero waste goal. 40% of your household budget is a nice thing to reclaim if you can do it.
Now, tell us a bit about the sort of relative merits of trash to the landfill versus recycling. A lot of people feel good. Oh, I've got my bin. I put my beer bottles in there, my newspaper. And yet, to some degree, it's kind of all trash.
Well, recycling, we're really not nearly as good at it as we could be. And other, you know, we have about a 24 to 25% recycling rate of our waste. Other countries routinely get it well over 50, 60, even 70%. Austria, Germany, really good at it.
Yeah.
Rather than send it to a landfill where it just gets wasted. At least if you're recycling it, you're repurposing the materials. The thing about recycling is, as important a process as it is, it really shouldn't be the sort of go-to solution to combat waste, the first alternative. It should be the last alternative because it's a
Exactly.
very wasteful process. You're expending energy. You never get as much out as you put into it. Some materials are very good and can be profitably recycled. Metals, particularly aluminum especially, can be endlessly recycled. But plastics, the return is never as great as the expense of making the material and then recycling it. You're losing energy, you're losing money. Some types of plastics cannot be successfully recycled indefinitely. Plastic bags, grocery bags, are particularly bad. So, which is why theoretically they're 100% recyclable, but in practice only 5% of our grocery bags get recycled. That's why so many communities are adopting these plastic bag bans or putting bag fees on them to discourage their use because they're environmentally and economically really bad products.
Well, Edward Humes, this has been great. And one of the nice things I think about this book is it relates to people's everyday lives, and all of us can play a role and have a big impact and actually live more thoughtfully and save some money. So it's good all the way around. We'll make sure on this show, as well as on our website, we'll tell the story about your book.
Oh, I appreciate that thing.
My guest has been Edward Humes, author of the book Garbology, Our Dirty Love Affair with Trash. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.